The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 12:28 a.m., April 25th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
We are marching today to remind people everywhere, our lawmakers especially, of the significance of science for our health and prosperity. The process of science has enabled humankind to discover the laws of nature. This understanding has in turn enabled us to feed and care for the world's billions.
Build great schools, establish it.
One giant leap for mankind.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to K, Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. Hi, I'm Kelly the Voice. Well, Congress is back from its lazy two-week recess. They are returning to a doozy of a week, and the House didn't even convene on Monday. This Friday, April 28th, to avoid a partial government shutdown, red and blue are going to need to come together to vote on a spending bill. Congress needs to get a bill to Donald's desk by midnight. There's a chance they will pass a stopgap bill that provides a few more months of funding lasting through the end of the fiscal year, so a deal can be reached. Which, my money is on them needing to take this measure. The government funding bill will likely come Thursday or Friday. Not only that, the GOP will possibly push a vote on repealing and replacing Obamacare in the same time frame. Few other things on the docket. H.R. 1372. On Tuesday, the House voted on New Jersey Democrats Ronald Payne's Homeland Security for Children Act. This bill requires the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, to incorporate children's needs into disaster preparedness training. Believe it or not, the Republicans did something good, and it was passed. H.R. Resolution 187, which is Democrat Karen Bass of California's resolution, relating to efforts to respond to the famine in South Sudan. She wants more aid to go to the famine-stricken South Sudan, which is great. After this resolution, let's push for an actual act which will require aid to go to the starving children. H.R. 1694, Franny and Freddy Open Records Act of 2017, comes up for a vote on Thursday. It's Republican Jason Chaffetz's resolution to apply the Freedom of Information Act to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which sounds good, right? They were partially responsible for the crash. Why not open them up? But we have to ask, why these two lenders and not the rest of them? Why does Chaffetz want to scapegoat these two and not all lenders? Are they targeting the lower-income citizens and avoiding any controversy over the higher-income citizen home loans? At the end of the day, I don't trust a single thing Chaffetz has to offer. He is a sneaky little man. On Monday, the Senate confirmed to be Secretary of Agriculture former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue, who ran into ethics problems as governor, surprise, surprise, as he refused to put his agriculture and global trading company businesses into a blind trust. Sound familiar? Perdue's decision to forego any kind of blind trust led to several conflict of interest issues for him during his time in office. When he was up for re-election in 2006, Perdue said, "I'm a small business owner. I'm in the agribusiness. That's about as blind trust as you can get. We trust in the Lord for rain and many other things." According to Cosmopolitan, which is more than just sex and clothes, it is actively anti-Trump. During his time in office, the Georgia State Ethics Commission investigated 13 complaints against Perdue, though he was only found to have violated ethics laws in two of those instances. In 2005, the commission fined him $1,900 for failing to report a campaign trip he made on a private plane owned by one of his family businesses. The same commission also required him to return more than $18,000 in campaign contributions. Perdue and his lawyers described these as minor infractions. I will say, however, that he has said he will put his businesses into blind trust now as Secretary of Agriculture, but We will see. As governor, he also, on more than a dozen occasions, awarded friends and donors with appointments. What's more, Politico found that he has continued this pattern. As governor, his budget cuts led to foodborne health issues in Georgia. He cut the state budget drastically, including major cuts to the state's agriculture department. These cuts impacted Georgia's food safety and inspection unit and was linked to two salmonella outbreaks in the state. Also, unlike under Obama's agricultural department, he will not prioritize environmental issues. He wrote in National Review, quote, "It's become a running joke among the public, and liberals have lost all credibility when it comes to climate science because their arguments have become so ridiculous and so obviously disconnected from reality." Unquote. As governor, he once famously parade for rain, holding a government-sponsored public vigil for the occasion.
To all Georgians and all people who believe in the power of prayer, we ask God to shower our state, our region, our nation with the blessings of water.
It didn't work, by the way. The state suffered from drought for months after, but it must have been all those homosexuals in San Fran that brought it on them, huh? Long story short, this guy was supported by Republicans and Democrats alike. He was confirmed by a vote of 87 to 11. Should you be thinking, why does it matter? What's the big deal about Secretary of Agriculture? You are not alone. I thought the same thing until I read up on it. The Department of Agriculture isn't flashy, but it's huge. With close to 100,000 employees and an annual budget of $155 billion, though it is poised to lose $4.7 billion in discretionary funding under Trump's proposed budget. The agency does everything from supporting farmers to contributing to food safety and environmental initiatives to supporting free trade. The USDA also administers the SNAP program. And since the agricultural sector tends to depend on immigration labor, immigration policy is an important issue for the department as well. And yeah, he also, in 2006, signed a law that made Georgia one of the toughest states on undocumented immigrants. I called my representatives and I let them know that I was not happy about them supporting someone who promotes government-sponsored prayer over climate science and has a history of corruption. If the Democrats are not going to stand up to such a man, then who will? It is left to us to stay informed and keep an eye on him. Not to be outdone when it comes to shady government appointments, last week, Betsy DeVos made an appointment that will be close to Donald's racist and sexist heart, with some fanatical religion as icing on the cake. According to Mother Jones, DeVos's pick to head the Civil Rights Office once said she faced discrimination for being white. Candace Jackson. Candace Jackson takes over an office that has been responsible for protecting students from racial, gender, disability, and age discrimination for decades. Under the Obama administration, the office increased its caseload. It emphasized to colleges that they could give preferences to minorities and women to achieve diversity. It advised them to be more aggressive on investigating allegations of rape and sexual harassment on campus. Some of the guidance from the office provoked controversy, particularly among Republicans, lovers of inequity and harassment that they are, and they have long called for the office to be scaled back. Jackson's writings during and after college suggest she is likely to steer one of the education department's most important and controversial branches into a different direction than her predecessors. A longtime anti-Clinton activist and outspoken conservative turned libertarian, she has denounced feminism and race-based preferences. She has also written favorably and helped edit a book by an economist who decried both compulsory education and the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964. In 2009, Jackson co-wrote a Christian country song with her father and brother called Freedom, Family, and Faith. This is just one more reason to stand up for minorities and fight harder than ever for equality. If you go to school or are an alum of a college, please be sure to let your school know you support affirmative action and other such programs.
Jackson co-wrote a Christian country song with her father and brother called Freedom, Family, and Faith. politician wants our liberty. They say, just trust me, we're all family. I've got a family, and hey, it's not you.
If you are in a bad mood and kind of need to cheer yourself up with something very endearing and kind of funny, go to Notely News, that's N-O-T-E-L-Y, News, online and watch their videos. It's this, I believe, maybe a couple who sings these songs about the headlines or quotes from Donald Trump. What you heard was them singing about the report, about the song that Jackson wrote. It's very addictive. You really should check them out. On Tuesday, the Senate confirmed Rod Rosenstein to Deputy Attorney General, who will also oversee the Russian investigation, now that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions has recused himself. I suppose it's a small comfort that the guy was nominated before Jeff Bezos had to recuse himself, so Donald didn't know that he would be overseeing his case. Rosenstein is reportedly a nonpartisan character who has worked for both Bush and Obama. I'm nervously hopeful that he won't be a mini Sessions. Just this month, his office was involved in prosecuting and indicting 7 Baltimore police officers for federal racketeering crimes. We will have to wait and see how this starts to unfold. Guys, I am getting stomach pains watching the state of the Russia investigations. We all know that the House investigation is practically a lost cause, and the adults in the room, the Senate, with their strongly bipartisan press conference, is proving to be all a show as well. The staffers they hired to work on the case are only there part-time, and mostly don't have law degrees or backgrounds in Russia or anything useful to the case. They did hire 2 more staffers this week when it hit the press that they weren't doing anything. Those staffers too are not full-time, or do they have a legal background? Apparently, Republican and Trump supporter Richard Burr, the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman, is slow-walking the case. So I have no hope that Congress, without an independent commission, will get anywhere. As far as the other investigations, the chief of the Justice Department investigation is stepping down for an unnamed reason. She was wildly respected and a seasoned investigator whose replacement will be chosen by Donald himself. Why is she stepping down? We don't know. Why now? Why would she do this to us? The FBI investigation is up in the air as James Comey, whose actions are largely responsible for Trump's presidency, is in charge. So, I don't know. Let's hope that the CIA and the NSA have not been corrupted as well, I guess. Reporters have been dogged and been doing the work for these agencies, but arrest won't happen if the law enforcement agencies do not want to act on them. We, the people, play a major role in this. No agency, including Congress, may rest until we are satisfied that all investigations have been done thoroughly and in good faith. We demand justice and integrity. We demand that our leaders depart from their partisan ways and bring justice to the American people, not only to bring bad actors to heel, but as a show of strength, to prove that they can rise above the worst of their natures when it matters. We must show Russia and any other country that dares interfere with America for their own ends that we will not stand for it. Our leaders need to do better than this. They have already soured their place in history. It is up to us to take our place as the heroes who stood for what was right in the face of impossible odds. Let the books remember it was everyday people who fought for justice, not just in the Russia investigation, but justice in all things. Let the songs of our time serve as anthems to a time when people put it all on the line for their fellow Americans and for the future of America. It will be known that it was not the worst of us that prevailed, but the best of us who rose up with our collective voices and stopped the dismantling of our country and the values it esteems to. We will be the heroes of our time. We are the heroes of our time, if and only if we resist. We never tire. We never falter. We resist. To do that, we must never lose hope. There is always hope. So long as there is us, there is hope.
The government shutdown looms.
The government shutdown looms. Do you remember when last December Democrats threatened the government shutdown if Republicans didn't pass the Miners Protection Act, which would have guarded former miners' health care benefits? I do. You know who doesn't remember that Democrats are the ones who went to bat for them? Miners. Anyway, there are many good reasons to use this card to shut down the government. And to be clear, it is only a partial shutdown, not a full one. That being said, it is a big deal. And the power really is in the Democrats' hands, for now at least. Regardless of being the minority party, Democrats can filibuster the vote until the current spending package runs out midnight this Friday. It is up to the Republicans not to put poison pills into the spending package, such as defunding Planned Parenthood, funding a border wall, or holding the ACA hostage. So tensions are high. It really looks as though they'll simply buy themselves more time. According to Vox, government funding bills might be one of the last major bipartisan things left in Washington, if only by default. There are a lot of things Republicans can do. Hike up defense spendings, grant Donald's border wall supplement budget, defund Planned Parenthood, although House Speaker Paul Ryan said that belongs in healthcare debate, and cut off subsidies to insurance companies, core to Obamacare's functionality. The problem is, most of these things will be met with a wall of Democratic opposition. That means Republicans will either have to make peace with the shutdown or make concessions to the Democrats. Looks as though they're leaning towards the latter, which would result in an omnibus bill. That's pretty friendly to Democrats. Hey guys, a quick aside. I was very complimentary of Bernie last week, and I stand by it. I love the work he's doing across the country. I wish he would cut out the mixed messages, though. And I'm not going to go into it because Bernie is too much of a hot-button issue. But his recent choices of endorsements and non-endorsements are, confusing. I'll put out this PSA, however. Fanatical love for a politician is dangerous. Bernie enjoys the kind of love and devotion reserved only for holy men and gods. Fanatical love is disturbing to me on any level, for anyone or anything for that matter. This kind of blind devotion it's blinding, and it becomes hard to be objective about the adored subject's motivations or actions. Politicians get themselves up to shenanigans and are wildly imperfect. That's all. Love him, but apply critical thinking to his actions in the same way you would any politician, as we do about Hillary and everyone else. Okay? Okay, enough of that.
And science won't be silenced. And so we march for science.
Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. Read a quote from renowned scientist Marie Curie on a banner held by scientists in 20 degree temperatures and 26 mile per hour gusts at Germany's Neumayer Station, an active research institute in Antarctica.
Some may consider science the purview of a special or separate type of citizen. One who pursues natural facts and generates numerical models for their own sakes. But our numbers here today show the world that science is for all. Our lawmakers must know and accept that science serves every one of us, every citizen of every nation and society.
That was Bill Nye the Science Guy at the March for Science in D.C. The March for Science went off like gangbusters on Saturday. There's one in all seven continents, not to mention the over 600 satellite marches and hundreds of thousands of marchers. Rain did not stop DC from showing up in force. Listener and fellow member of the Resistance, Jess, sent me great pictures from the DC march he and several others attended with a sign that read, "When you vote for a clown, expect a circus." Bill Nye the Science Guy, one of my childhood heroes, said as the rain soaked his jacket and bow tie, quote, "Today, we have a great many lawmakers, not just here, but around the world, deliberately ignoring and actively suppressing science. Their inclination is misguided and in no one's best interest. Our lives are in every way improved by having clean water, reliable electricity, and access to electronic global information, unquote. The march started much the same way as the Women's March did. Social media fueled and a march for, not against, something. An estimated 40,000 in D.C. and Chicago, 20,000 in New York and L.A., and 10,000 in Philadelphia and London, even at the Coachella Music Festival where I was. We had a march led by the band The Downtown Boys through the festival, where we were met with cheers and high fives and one go God and a couple Trump is presidents from the less evolved of the crowd. Never forget that the pursuit of science and the arts is in the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8 says, quote, to promote the progress of science and the useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right of their respective writings and discoveries. Unquote. This campaign to suppress and silence artists and scientists is unconstitutional, plain and simple. Other countries are outpacing us in science and technology, a quick path to losing our economic place in the world. We in the resistance are not the ones who need to be told this. In fact, Americans in general don't need to be told this. According to Live Science, some 71% trust climate scientists about global warming. A whopping 82% of respondents said that the country should fund research into renewable energy sources, and 75% said that the United States should regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant. This held true even in states that produce coal and oil. Do you realize Republicans are the only major political party who does not believe in climate change in the world? In the world! We must get the money out of politics. We must get the money out of politics. We must get the money out of politics. Call your representatives.
Science is universal. Science brings out the best in us. With an informed, optimistic view of the future together, we can, dare I say it, save the world!
All right. A question was posed by a friend of the show, Michael. He asked, I would like a prediction of when America will be great again. Donald has not been forthcoming. Once great, how shall we use it? Am I to expect an oversense of greatness? Well, Michael, I have an answer for you. America will be great when we throw Donald and his cronies in jail after much humiliation and then turn the government blue. Really, America will only be great if we make it great. We being the best of us. All those who want the white, gun-toting government, free America, can just sit in the corner and play with their trucks or whatever. And Michael, good luck out there in Indiana. Stay blue and, I feel for you. Living blue in a red state must be, well, it's something I can't imagine. So my hat's off to your friends who do. I am rather spoiled here in California. Our president, who once soundly and repeatedly spoke out about the terrible communist from Kenya, Barack Obama's executive orders, has now signed his 30th executive order and has bragged about his, quote, accomplishments, which are only kneel, all human life is precious, but let's kill as many prisoners as we can, Gorsuch. Well, one of his accomplishments met the resistance of the courts. Again, a California judge temporarily blocked it. Well, partially at least. USA Today reports U.S. District Judge William Orrick ruled that Trump exceeded his presidential authority when he signed an executive order January 25th directing his administration to withhold all federal funding from local jurisdictions deemed to be sanctuary jurisdictions. That general term describes more than 300 governments that have limited their cooperation with their federal immigration officials. Orrick ruled that a president has the power to withhold some funding, including three Justice Department grants directly tied to immigration enforcement. He ruled that Donald's administration can continue withholding funding under those grounds. But Orrick ruled that Trump's threats to withhold federal grants were coercive and violated federal fundamental principles established in the Constitution. Donald's executive orders are unconstitutional. Period. The world feels like it's falling apart. There's Brexit and us and the French election just happened, and the candidate our president and Putin supports, Marine Le Pen, leader of the fascist party in France, came in second and will be headed to the runoff. Should Marine win, she will pull France out of the European Union, and the EU will effectively break up, putting the world at greater risk of a world war. Much is at stake in this election, and French voters know it. France, however, had an 80% turnout in the election they just had. 1 in 5 eligible voters made it to the polls. In contrast, the 2012 and 2016 election over here, we never cracked 60%. The second we get our government back in blue, we must fight to give election their own holiday. At least the presidential election, and the midterm should be moved to weekends. Having them as they are is a Republican move, because as we know, lower turnout favors conservatives. Hashtag vote, hashtag elections matter, hashtag unite blue. Okay, Monday, May 1st, has been historically recognized as International Workers' Day. Since May 1st, 1886, as 35,000 workers struck for an 8-hour workday. The largest service union in the country, SEIU, USWW, and its 45,000 members are going on strike. SEIU, USWW, is comprised of the hardworking men and women and janitors, security officers, baggage handlers, hospital staff, hotel workers, stadium and amusement park workers are all calling for a general strike on Monday, May 1st. The organizers of the nation's largest women's march have created the Women's March Los Angeles Foundation to continue the critical effort to highlight the struggles of marginalized communities and assaults on human rights and civil liberties, has chosen to support the May Day general strike. Support the strike and join the strike. I've posted it on my Facebook page if you would like to support it and you would like more information. They have written, "The time has come. The time has come to fight the attacks on freedom, dignity, and the human rights that are corrupting our communities, our country, and our Constitution. It is time to stand up as a people against fascism and autocratic leadership. It is time to resist. It is time to defend all people, including workers, immigrants, Muslims, women, LGBTQ people. It is time to defend our climate, our schools, our unions. This is a call to all working people, to all communities. Join us in the streets in a general strike on May 1st, 2017. Let us stand up together for a world where human rights and equality are respected. We're fighting for a world in which immigrant families are no longer torn apart, in which every child gets good public education, every parent can access affordable healthcare, every family has quality healthcare, every senior can retire in dignity, and working hard is enough to live out of poverty. The time has come to shut it down." The way they wrote it, I have no choice but to add a dramatic flair. Okay, that's about all the time we have. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of Resistance, on crabdiving.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you like to podcast. Catch the other great programming on crabdiving.com. Follow me on Twitter at KellyTheVoice or on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. This weekend is the People's Climate March. Marches are taking place all over the world. Find one near you at peoplesclimate.org. Stay safe out there, and as always, resist. To lead us out, a team of international artists have come together to create an original song in support of the March for Science. It's available on iTunes. Shoulders of Giants.
A girl looks at the brilliant stars, dreams that she'll discover new ones, sketches planetary arcs, fascinated by their movements, peeling back truth's thick skin in all its endless iterations, seeking where facts begin, data sets and calculations.
A little boy wants to find out why bees around the world are dying, worried for the chain of life, dependent on this insect's flying, seeing nature's warning signs, dying species rise in waters, threats of volatility.